From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 19th, 2010. Every week, Directions Media brings you the most current news, trends, and opinions on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francieke, Editor-in-Chief, today in beautiful Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
And this is Dina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
We're back with our heads in the clouds this week, focusing on a few trends in cloud computing. We'll look at both innovations and disruptive influences that will impact the geospatial technology sector. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Erdos, the Earth-to-Business company. Get ready to leverage your available hardware with multi-core distributed processing and Erdos Imagine and LPS and clustering in Erdos Apollo. Customize and localize software interfaces, exploit base imagery and geocoding in Bing Maps, and easily link to Google Earth. Utilize new image analysis workflows specifically designed for defense and intelligence users. Erdos 2011 software release is coming soon. Visit www.erdos.com for more information on this exciting release.
Adina, two articles appeared recently in the online magazine Datamation, written by Jeff Vance, which caught my attention. Both are listed in our show notes, so our listeners can look at them. But the first was called 10 Disruptive Cloud Computing Trends, published on September 21st, and the second was 7 Hot Cloud Computing Innovations, published on September 30th. For our listeners, what we've done is to pick a few of Vance's disruptions or influences to discuss in light of their relevance to the geospatial technology sector. So I'm going to start with one that I found, which I think is fairly relevant. And what this one is called is collaboration is driving adoption. And I quote, one of the main use case advantages of cloud computing is collaboration. In fact, many organizations have, for instance, adopted Google Docs solely as a collaboration tool. Google obviously allows you to store any file, such as a Word doc, in the Google Cloud and share it in its original format. And, you know, collaboration from the geospatial technology sector is not necessarily something new. Project collaboration tools have been around for some time, and not necessarily in the context of cloud computing, but certainly in a client-server environment. You know, what kind of comes to my mind is Autodesk's Buzzsaw and Bentley's ProjectWise. I think today one of the few that are, I think, are touting a cloud collaboration is Erdos Apollo, which is a cloud-based image server solution. So those are the things that came to my mind. I think collaboration is one of those things that people are hoping that is going to drive cloud adoption. But I thought his comment was relevant, certainly, to the geospatial arena.
Right, and I think the challenge here is to think about this both in the global sort of company. You know, that's a multinational engineering firm, and they're going to use something like Buzzsaw because they've got people and players all over the world working on a single project. That's sort of easy to get your brain around. I think it might be a little more difficult to think about how would a local government use this. And the answer is, if you've got your city employees, for example, some of whom may work off-site, and you've got your consultant, and the three of you can get together and discuss this topic and look at the map and operate on the map together. So this is equally applicable to that kind of a situation.
Right, right, absolutely.
One of the ideas that I pulled out was titled Displacing the Laptop with Smartphones and Tablets. And I have to say that I'm not fully convinced that for geospatial we're going to be ditching the laptops that quickly just because we need that real estate of the screen. And the argument here is that the moving to the cloud from those kinds of devices is going to enhance security. And let me just quote here. Plus, there are no security limitations in the device being stolen or misplaced because none of the information from the PC is totally saved locally on the phone. That is attributed to Daniel Barreto, GM Mobile Cloud Business Unit at Wyze Technology. And I think that's absolutely true. And if you have concerns about your people losing their devices, this may be a way to at least pull the data off of those devices and keep it off of those devices. So if they're lost, you're not going to compromise your data. On the other hand, an awful lot of the theft of data, and part of it that we don't hear about as much are the social engineering crimes. That is, somebody convincing somebody to give away their password or their access card to the data. And that doesn't matter whether or not they have the hardware or not. Once they have that information, they can often get in from any device. So this isn't a complete solution, but it does sort of solve that one issue, which I know is an issue for many organizations using GIS.
Yeah, it's funny that you picked that one in particular. I had chosen that one as well, and for the exact same reason of nothing is stored on your phone or on your tablet. People carry around laptops all the time and essentially carry their entire businesses, like I do, on their laptop, which is not a good thing. Moving everything to the cloud is one of those things I think from a personal level I have thought about quite a lot. And while we run our entire business in the cloud, for many of our personal things and personal files, they still reside locally. And that's an issue. And I think for somebody in a huge project who's got large data stores, large image collections, it's a natural progression that will want to move it away from anybody's personal computer to something that that you can move to a cloud storage, provided the security is there, as you just suggested. One of the other things I picked up on was a topic that he called pushing the cloud envelope with sky computing. And again, I'm going to quote here. When scientists use the cloud for their studies, they often run up against computing limitations, even in large cloud deployments, rather quickly. Here's a quote inside that, my quote. It says, in science, there is an explosion of data in areas such as bioinformatics, said Dr. Kate Cahey, a scientist with Argonne National Labs and a fellow of the Computation Institute at the University of Chicago. She says, we have more data than we know what to do with, and we're not able to process that data effectively in traditional infrastructures. And again, this brought to mind all of the image data that we're collecting, all of the LIDAR data that we're collecting, all of the things from unmanned aerial vehicles that are now being collected by the military. These are huge data stores, huge image libraries that, you know, in the past we would not have, you know, we would have to buy many servers and storage devices to hold that data. And now with the promise of better storage in the cloud, with the possible exception of the fact that security may still be an issue, again, a perfect application for geospatial cloud computing and what they're now calling sky computing, which is, to them, basically bringing many cloud environments together. Again, let me quote from his article. Basically, this is a matter of cloud computing getting back to its roots. Several years ago, cloud computing and grid computing were used almost interchangeably. Grids were more typically focused on applications where huge amounts of data were being stored and processed, while clouds were centered on cost reduction and infrastructure flexibility. So it seems like in this case, we've got these, again, two bits of phraseology here coming together, grid computing and cloud computing, but the notion is that certainly can be much applied in terms of image storage and image manipulation eventually.
Right, and the other source for those giant data sets, of course, are the sensors, not that are in the sky, but the ones that we're carrying around with us, with our phones, and the other kinds of sensors that we're going to be carrying around creating volunteer geographic information. Perhaps our cars are going to be sniffing the air, checking on the temperature. That's going to be huge, huge amounts of data. And how we're going to use that either for scientific purposes or, frankly, for marketing purposes doesn't matter. We've still got to collect it and crunch it in something like real time. So there's an awful lot of demand for big data sets being crunched very quickly.
And you can envision a time when all of that that sensor data from cars gets fed into some huge cloud storage and processing center, being fed back in real time to the car, where there may be adjustments in the transmission or gas fuel sensors being monitoring how much should go through the injectors. Just a huge amount of information could be done in real time, and sometimes based, and oftentimes based on location. Are they going up a hill? Are they changing altitude? Is it anything like that you can imagine that will have huge implications for real-time data processing?
Right. Another one of the topics that struck me was titled Moving Gaming, All Video Gaming Online. And there's been quite a push for the users of games to have them be hosted elsewhere, to be able to play against people on the other side of the world. That's all very exciting for the gaming population. And I've said in the past that we in Geospatial really need to keep an eye on gaming, because the technologies that make those so beautiful are the same kinds of things that can make our data look so beautiful. So I'm looking forward to a time where a lot of that data that you just described is being fed and delivered to very simple kinds of client software, and it has that look that a lot of our geospatial data does not yet have, of being real world and operating and smoothly and being able to move through it. And I especially see applications for this for the military.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We're kind of still in the era of spaghetti maps. Our maps are getting better looking, but they may not be there in a fashion that we're seeing in the gaming industry. And certainly virtual worlds and augmented reality may be playing into that. The last one we'll discuss is one that I picked up on. It's called The One-Size-Fits-All Software Era is Nearing Its End. Again, I'll quote, "Anytime technology creates upheaval in the business world, business models change. Think of all the web-based companies, Amazon, eBay, YouTube, that couldn't have existed 20 years ago." Vance asked Jeff Stiles, Senior VP of SAP's on-demand marketing, how he thought business models would change in reaction to the cloud. And what he said was, "What the cloud enables at every layer is the ability to reset relationships between vendors, customers, and partners," said Stiles. "The most immediate change will be how software is designed and delivered." And I've got to think that this is the most critical impact that will happen in the geospatial arena, probably in all areas of software development. But for us, it means, and what I picked up on in particular was the resetting of relationships. Many things within the geospatial community are based on the client and partners and VARs, and we see VARs struggling these days to find new business models to latch on to. Before, in the days of on-premise software, cloud, shrink-wrap software, they were the resellers, and they developed certain expertises. But now that relationships are changing. It has been changing for several years, I believe. The cloud may either push them over the edge to go away or develop a uniquely different business model with which to communicate or collaborate with the mainstream geospatial software vendors.
I looked at this actually from a slightly different perspective, and that was from the perspective that with this new platform called the cloud, there's the opportunity for many new players to come in and challenge those who have been in geospatial before. Now, the last time that happened, in my recollection, that I identified was, early 2000s maybe, where the big thing was the OCX, right, that embeddable library that you're going to use to build your custom application. MapObjects was
right.
The one that you're probably
right.
Most familiar with. And I remember thinking at that time, this is a perfect opportunity for new players to come in and offer up these new OCXs and change the landscape. And my understanding of what happened was that didn't happen. In fact, the same companies were then developing those OCXs and making them available and so forth. So I wonder if, in fact, the cloud is going to enable a new set of players, or if the same players are simply going to move to that platform.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you brought up that insight, because another part of Vance's article suggested that people who were developing the hybrid clouds and taking a cloud environment in-house was an opportunity for the existing players to go back into those clients and say, hey, you know, why develop anything hybrid or do it in-house? We'll do it all for you. And I think the same thing is true what you were suggesting about the OCXs, whereas companies may have thought that they could develop their own apps. What happened was the geospatial players ended up playing that game as well. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
This podcast was brought to you by Erdos, the Earth to Business company. Backed by more than 30 years of experience working with geospatial data and expert users like you, ERDOS allows you to harness the information of the changing Earth for greater advantage. Find out more about ERDOS and the ERDOS 2011 software release at www.erdos.com.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can do so by leaving a comment at Directions Magazine, or you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. We'd like to remind our listeners that upcoming November 16th and 17th in Huntsville, Alabama, is our Rocket City Geospatial Conference. We're going to have some great speakers this year, in particular on crisis mapping related to the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in particular. We hope you'll join us. You can find more information at the conference website at www.rocketcitygeospatial.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.